2020 vision for 2020.
And the first one this morning was what? A 2020 vision for the Savior. The Savior. You get Him in view, you get Christ in view, and the rest of these will fall right into place. You'll see where I'm going with this here tonight. Because without that one, without a 2020 vision of Christ, these other ones, you're not going to do them. Or at least you're not going to do them properly or effectively. And so get that vision. If you get nothing else from this message, if you get this morning's point, the one point, the rest of this will be pretty simple for you. But let's take a look at Romans chapter 15. Verse 1, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." And I've underlined these next few words, and this is not as it's easy to underline. It's another thing to live it and not to please ourselves, right? You ever think about that? It was simple for me to take a pen and a little straight edge and underline that, but it's a whole different thing to go out and live that verse. Verse 2 says, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Father, thank You that we could gather together tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the good crowd that we have this evening. We pray that You'd bless us and meet with us and speak to our hearts, open the Word of God and open our hearts, Lord, to the things of Your Word. Help us, Lord, to glean from Your Word tonight. Bless us in a tremendous way. In Jesus' name, amen. It says in verse 4, again, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," everything that was written in the Old Testament. And, of course, now we have, remember, the New Testament was not finished when Paul wrote these words. So he's referring to anything that was written aforetime was written for our learning. The Bible is written for our learning. And so not only do we have to have a 2020 vision for 2020 for the Savior, but we need to have a 2020 vision for 2020 for the Scriptures. You got to have a 2020 vision for the Bible. You got to have a 2020 vision for the Scriptures. And it says there that these things were written for our learning. We don't learn because we don't read. We don't learn because we don't study. We don't learn because we ignore what we have read in the Bible. Many of us are doing the Faith Bible Institute, and it's, I love it. I absolutely love the program. If I didn't love it, I wouldn't be doing it myself. We wouldn't be doing it ourselves. And we enjoy the program. We enjoy the teaching. But when it comes test time, if you don't study, you don't do too well. But the more you study, the better grade you get. Right? I mean, we all know that. Those of us that are in the Institute know that. The harder we study, the more we go over every bit of those notes, the better grade we get. And so that's the thing with the Bible. The more you study, it's not you're going to get a higher grade with God. God's not grading us based upon our Bible reading. That's not how God works. He doesn't give you an A because you read the Bible through once, in your Christianity. No, He's not grading us. We ought to be grading ourselves based upon the Scriptures. That's why it's important for us to understand that. So the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And then Paul says that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. Say it. It's okay to say it. It's not a trick question. What's the last word of the verse? Hope. All right, thank you. So as we are reading, as we're learning the Scriptures, we can have hope through the Scriptures. I made a little note in my Bible. The Scriptures were grounded in, groomed by, growing in, and going with the Scriptures. That should be what we're doing in our life. Grounded in, groomed by, growing in, and going with the Bible. We find out how to be saved in the Bible, don't we? Right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How can you know to be saved without the Bible? You cannot know how to be saved without the Scriptures. That's where we learn the basics of being saved. How to be saved. Why we should be saved. What are the results of our salvation? That is all learned through the Scriptures. And so if you don't read that, you're not going to know that. When we witness to somebody, what do we use? We don't use our own lips. We do. Please understand. But we try to use the Word of God as much as we can. When you quote Scripture, you won't go wrong. You can't go wrong. And it's the Scriptures that penetrate the heart. Hebrews 4:12, turn over there. I could probably quote it, but I might mess up a word or two. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, if you don't know the verse, you can look at it and see what it says. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. This is what the Word of God is. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick. What's the word quick mean in your Bible?
Wow.
Alive. You say, this Bible is a living book. Now, it doesn't have little legs where it gets up and runs around at nighttime. And it doesn't do that. But we know that it's a living book because of what it does to us and how it works in our lives. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that's what the Bible is. The Bible is a living book. It's God's book. God is a living God. His Word is a living Word. And so when we look at the Scriptures and we think about that, we realize how important the Bible is. We need to have a 2020 vision this coming year for the Scriptures. As I said this morning, it's a blessing to hear that people want to read their Bible through in this next year. I'm always looking forward to reading my Bible through again in the coming year. Again, we find out how to be saved in the Scriptures. We learn about the security that we have as a believer. Without the Bible, you wouldn't know if you're saved forever or not. I get saved through reading the Bible, but how do I know if I can stay saved beyond that? Well, we learn that from the Scriptures. We learn as the Bible speaks to us and as we read, we say, yes, you know what I have now? I have eternal life. This is not a temp. Listen, everything around us is temporary. You know that. Everything's temporary. Everything is temporary that you see, except your eternal soul is not temporary. And your eternal life is eternal. It's everlasting life. So we learn about the security of the believer from the Scriptures. God can communicate with us. And we don't see visions in our dreams and all that. We don't do that. God communicates through us through the Scriptures. And through the Holy Spirit, of course, in our heart. But as we read, this is God's way of talking to us through His Word. And so as you and I have felt, we talk to Him by prayer. He talks to us from the Scriptures. That's how we have communication with the Lord, right? And that's how we communicate. So God can communicate with us through the Scriptures. This Bible can help us stay out of trouble. It can keep us from trouble if you just do what it says. If you just adhere to the words and to the passages, and it'll keep us. You know, I think it was D.L. Moody that said, "This Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." I don't know if that's who somebody said that, and I think it was D.L. Moody. But I mean, this book can keep you and I from sin if we just adhere to what it has to say. It can keep us from getting into trouble. The Bible tells us everything that God wants us to know. Did you know that? The Bible tells you everything that God wants you to know about Him and about man and about angels and about heaven and about hell. The Bible gives us everything that God wants us to know. There's not one too many words in this. I mean, there's not one too many word. There's not one word in there that's not needed. And God didn't leave something out that we should have. I mean, it's exactly complete, 100% complete. That's how good the Bible is. So whatever God wants you to know, you find it in the Bible. The Bible tells us who we are. The Bible tells us why we are here. The Bible tells us where we are going. Saved or lost. Saved people go to heaven. The Bible tells me that. Lost people go to hell. The Bible tells me that.
Right.
Amen? I mean, that's what the Bible tells us. It reveals that to us. Now, there's a lot of churches and religions out there that confuse the matter.
Right.
And what they do is they confuse the matter by putting in their own ideals into the religion. And when you stick man into the religion, you are putting an impersonal person within that religion. And cults, that's how cults are formed. They're formed by a person saying, follow me, I have all the answers. And these cults out there that are teaching against the Word of God or contrary to the Word of God are confusing multitudes of people. Multitudes. We here in this church, and we as Bible believers, we use one standard for authority. And it's not the Baptist church. It's not the Baptist preacher. It's the Word of God. This is our authority right here. If it excuse my English, but if it ain't in here, it ain't part of us. Amen? If it's not in here, it's not part. I mean, we don't do it. If it's in here, we attempt to live our lives according to it. This is our authority. We don't have a hierarchy. We don't have a Baptist Pope somewhere. Where would the Baptist Pope be, James? I don't know. Indiana? No, he used to be. No. We don't have a Baptist Pope. We don't have somebody over us telling us what to preach, how to preach. We don't have somebody coming in here every 7 to 10 years and switching pastors. I'm glad for that. Maybe you're not, but I'm glad for that. But we don't have that. We don't have that problem. We don't have somebody over us telling us what to do except for the Lord. This is our authority. So many other churches, people are confused because they listen to a man and the man says, so that must be true. But if it goes against the Bible, then it's not true. As sincere as those people may be, and I believe there's a lot of sincere lost people on the planet. There's a lot of sincere religious people on the planet. They're sincere about what they believe. But if it doesn't match up with the Bible, I'm sorry, but it's not true. It's not right. We must have a final authority. If we don't have a final authority, then who is our authority? Or what, I should say. Who or what is our authority? And you cannot put man as your authority. You cannot put one particular church as the authority. And we know the Bible is true. We know the Bible is without error. We know the Bible is perfect, right? And pure and preserved. And so this is a book that we have that's without error. I mean, written over 1,600 years by over 40 different authors over all that period of time. Authors from shepherds to kings, all different walks of life, different times of life. How could they put this thing together and have it so perfect? If God wasn't in it, it wouldn't be. You can't take an Encyclopedia Britannica and have it come out perfect. You can't put a cookbook together, ladies, and have it come out perfect. I mean, you're going to say, no, that's not right. I mean, I can improve on that. Well, you can't improve on this. This is God's book. You don't improve on it. But it tells us everything we need to know. It tells us why we're here, where we're going, and where we're going from here. Boy, if you have no idea where you're going from here, the Bible will tell you. It gives you direction. It's our roadmap. I put that in the bulletin this morning. If you read that bottom on the right-hand side, you read about the Bible. I put that in there for this purpose. It goes along with the message tonight. It's our roadmap for the traveler going through life, not knowing how to get somewhere. This is our GPS. So many of us now, we have our GPSs on our phone, we have our GPSs in our cars, in our vehicles. A pilot cannot fly without a GPS. If he's going through clouds, forget it, he'll not make it. If he doesn't have some kind of radar, some kind of compass, some kind of GPS to get that pilot where he has to go, they'll get confused and they'll crash their plane without some kind of instrument to tell them where they're going. And so this is our compass. This is the pilot's compass. This is the soldier's sword. This is the traveler's roadmap. That's what this Bible is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Paul is writing to Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy, the second letter to Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. You see the word all? That's not just Old Testament or just New Testament. That's all Scripture. Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I mean, that when we see in verse 16, I mean, this is When we put this into practice, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is to know what's right. To figure out when you read the Bible, you understand what is the right thing. That's what doctrine does. It gives you the right tools. It helps you to know what's right. And then, of course, it says not just for doctrine, but for reproof. That's to know what's not right. You got to figure out what's not right and don't do it. A lot of people, well, I know that's wrong, but you do it anyway. Why? If you know it's wrong, why do you do it? And so the Bible gives us the direction at reproof for correction. How to get right? All right, so I know that I'm not right, but how do I get right? Well, the Bible tells you how to get right. And then the last thing is instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. And so it gives us to know what's right, to know what's not right, to know how to get right, and to know how to stay right. That's what the Bible will do. That's what it'll do for you. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oop, I just zoomed right by it. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter 1, 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He's talking about a more perfect word of prophecy. That's the word of God, folks. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit told those men what to write down, and they just dictated exactly what God said to write. That's how we have a perfect book. It's because they were told what to write. Let me give you seven reasons to read your Bible. Seven reasons to read your Bible. Number one, read it to gain salvation. I've already covered that a little bit. You read it to gain salvation. You read it to learn how to be saved. Number two, you read it as spiritual bread that sustains life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So we understand that the Bible is our spiritual bread that sustains your spiritual life, not your physical life. You need to eat regular food to sustain your physical life. But how do you sustain a spiritual life? It comes from the bread of life. Number three, you read it for spiritual growth. You read it to grow by. That's what the Bible is for. It's given to us so we can grow as a Christian. So you read it for spiritual growth. Number four, you read it as a light that provides guidance. I don't know about you, but when you go through darkness, it's a good thing to have some light. It's a good thing to have a flashlight. It's good to have a bright light that shows you where you're going so you don't bump into things and trip over things. And so that's what the Bible is. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, the psalmist says. So, again, number four, we read it as a light that provides unfailing guidance. Number five, we read it as a source of protection against evil. Evil what? Evil impulses. Evil temptations. That's why we read the Bible. It helps us with those times of temptations in our life. Number six, you read the Bible to be built up and established your faith. Your faith needs to be built up and established. Your faith will diminish if you're not in the Bible on a regular basis. You cannot keep your faith going without God allowing that faith to grow. We all need to grow our faith. Every one of us. You've got to grow your faith. How do you grow your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You grow your faith through the Scriptures. Just coming to church is not enough to grow your faith. You'll get a little bit here and there, but the preacher can't sustain your faith. The preacher can't build your faith up. Your faith comes from being in the Bible. That's where your faith is built up. And number seven, read it because it's alive and powerful. You read it because it's alive, it's a living book, it's a powerful book. It's a supernatural book. It doesn't mean that you're going to become Superman or super Christian. It just means it's a living book and God wants us to be living testimonies for Him. So let's have a 2020 vision for the Scriptures. Let's get those Bible reading calendars or some form. You don't need to use the Bible reading calendar, but use something to get you through the Bible this next year, at least once, at least one time. We need to do that. We need to do that. We need a 2020 vision for spiritual things. For spiritual things. You say, well, what do you mean spiritual things? Well, how about holiness? That's a spiritual thing. What we seem to be lacking today in Christianity is holy living. We need to live holy lives. We need a 2020 vision for spiritual things. And I have several things written down here about spiritual, being more spiritual. Can we be more spiritual? Absolutely. Yes. Every one of us can be more spiritual. Holiness comes to mind. To know Christ better comes to mind. That's a spiritual thing. Just to know Him. Wouldn't you want to know Him better? Paul, look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. A verse that I read often. Philippians 3:10. I got a lot of scripture on all this, but we don't have time to look at it all. I'm going to get through some of these things here tonight. But Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him. Paul's saying it. Paul, the apostle. That I may know Him. Paul, I thought you already knew Him. Yeah, I do know Him, but I want to know Him better. If Paul the apostle wanted to know Christ better, don't you think that it'd be good for you and me to know Him better? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. So when we have a 2020 vision for spiritual things, holiness comes to mind. To know Christ better comes to mind. How about to reach out to others? As we saw this morning in the Proverb, Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so wouldn't it be better for us this new year coming up to reach out to people more? To reach out to the lost and to reach out to the saved. Reach out to the needy. Reach out to whoever needs some assistance. That is something that I think that can be a spiritual thing that we can actually improve on ourselves as a church, as an individual. I don't know about you, but I can improve on this. I'm sure that I'm not talking to just me tonight. How about, this comes to mind, how about to redeem the time because the days are evil according to Ephesians chapter 5. How much time do you waste every day of your life? Do you waste, first of all, do you waste any time during the day? Anybody here not wasted a second of the day? No, most of us may waste some time. We may not waste a lot, but most of us waste some time. There's some minutes, hours during your day that you and I waste. God gave us, He gives us time, and there's no way we can get that time back. That is something that God gives us. To me, it's a gift every day. Every day He gives us 24 hours. Right? He gives us that time. He says, here, I'm giving you 24 hours. I want you to redeem the time according to Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to treat it right and proper. I want you to fill things into your day that's godly and right. I want you to make sure that you are watching your time carefully. But we squander it so often. I wrote this down to be more spiritual in 2020, but how about just to be more faithful? Can we be more faithful? There's some Christians that could make it to church a little bit more. Yep. There's many of us that could read our Bibles more, pray more, maybe even give a little more. I don't know. Maybe you're giving the maximum now. Some are. Some are giving kind of the maximum. You can't give much more when it comes to finances, but we could all do a little bit more for the Lord because He did so much for us. And so we could be more faithful in so many different aspects of life. I wrote this down, not to give in to fleshly desires. That's a spiritual thing. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We all give in to fleshly desires. I wrote this down, how about not to complain when trouble comes? That's something that we could improve on in our spiritual life. Get a 2020 vision for that. That's a tough one right there. And then I wrote this down and I got 13 reasons to pray. 13 reasons to pray. I said this, to get more serious about prayer in 2020. And then I wrote down 13 reasons to pray. I'm just going to run them off. If you want a copy of this, I'll be glad to give you a copy of this if you want. I don't have anything that's proprietary. And I don't keep any secrets. If you want this, I'll give you the sermon. You can have the sermon for $20. No, I'm just kidding. No, prayer. Why do we pray? Prayer opens the door to God. It opens a door of communication to God. Number two, prayer puts our lives at peace with God. And listen, it's a substitute for anxiety. Prayer is a substitute for anxiety. Look at Philippians chapter 4. I believe it's Philippians 4. I didn't have this written down, but I think it's 4. Yes. In Philippians chapter 4, you probably know the verse. In verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." What's it mean to be careful for nothing? It really means don't worry. You don't need to be anxious about this. Your anxiety level doesn't have to be maxed out at 100%. I believe that prayer puts our lives at peace with God. And it's a replacement for anxiety. If a lot of people today would have anxiety issues. Well, what's your prayer life like? Number three, prayer changes things and restores our nation back to God, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Boy, does our nation need prayer? Does our president, vice president, all of us senators, all the congressmen, Supreme Court, do they need prayer? Of course they do. Everybody needs prayer. Our government, our governor needs prayer. Our assemblymen and our senators in the state need prayer. Our judges need prayer. I mean, everybody, all of the people in leadership need prayer. And prayer can literally change a country. Some people don't believe that, but I believe it can do that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and restore their land. I'm messing up the verse. And heal their land. But you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so we need to humble ourselves, we need to pray, we need to seek, and we need to turn. There's those four things in that verse. And then God says, "I will heal your land. I will take care of the nation if you'll just do that." Prayer can do that. Prayer can change things and restore our nation back to God. Number four, prayer helps us find the will of God. Christians running around having no idea. What do I do for God? What do I do for God? Have you prayed and asked Him? Number five, prayer gives us boldness to witness and to serve the Lord. Boy, when the disciples prayed, the Bible says the place was shaken and they had boldness like they never had before, but it was a result of prayer that gave them that boldness in the book of Acts. Number six, prayer protects our families. Prayer protects our families. Number seven, prayer and fasting gives supernatural power. Number eight, prayer keeps us from temptations. We already talked about that, but prayer and Bible study helps with the temptations. Number nine, prayer is God's will for us. Simply, it's His will for us to pray. Number ten, prayer makes good what we eat. Right? Even Paul covers that. You should pray over your food. He'll bless it. Amen. That's, you know, asking God's blessing upon the food, whether you're home or whether you're not at home. I was at the funeral home yesterday, and one of the guys that works for Mike Kelly here came up to me and says, Hey, Reverend. He goes, "Hey, Reverend, I got a joke for you." You always do one of these things when somebody comes up and says he's got a joke for you. And I'll probably ruin this. I said, "You know what? I'm going to try to use this tomorrow because it's part of my message," I told him, and he laughed. He said, I got to think this thing, because I'm terrible at jokes. I can't do jokes. But this is what he said, and I got to stop and think about what he said, so just bear with me. Okay. I still mess it up. But he said, somebody asked this little kid, "Do you pray over your food?" He said, "No, we don't have to. Mom's a good cook." That's the joke. That's the joke. He told me that. I said, "Hey, that's good. I like that. Mom's a good cook. But we still need to pray over our food, even if mom or dad is a good cook. Or grandma or grandpa's a good cook. I mean, we have some great cooks in this place. But it's still good to pray over your food." Amen? Amen. Did I do all right on that joke? Oh, please, I can't go on the road. No. I'm not a Jeff Allen or somebody, you know, Brian Regan. Somebody's, I do like good, clean comedians. Jeff Allen is one of those guys. We saw him at the, they showed a video at the marriage conference. He is funny. And he is clean. I believe the man is saved. He talks about salvation in Christ often in his jokes, but he's hilarious. Some people just have that knack to be funny. Not me. I'm more serious. Number 11, prayer can heal our bodies. We were at the hospital a little while ago, and Paul and I, we had prayer for Rich. Why did we do that? Because we're asking for God to heal and to help. We prayed for Brennan. How you doing, Brennan? Doing good. He said this morning he felt real good. I thought, well, I was going to say, is it the medication or what? But no, he's doing well. And I think a lot of that is because he's got a lot of people praying for his shoulder. And people go through things in life, and it just seems that when you pray and you get a lot of people praying, it seems that sometimes recovery is a little quicker. It might be a little bit more comfortable. I really believe that God listens to prayer when we pray. James 5 talks about that, how we need to pray for those that are sick. And so prayer can heal bodies if it's God's will. Number 12, prayer gives strength and wisdom when we need it. How often do you need some strength and wisdom? James again says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I need the wisdom of God in my life all the time, and so do you. And number 13, prayer allows us to ask God for forgiveness. I like that one. How do you ask God for forgiveness? It's through prayer. You've got to pray and ask God to forgive you. Well, we need to have a 2020 vision for service. It goes along with this point that I just gave you. Simply, quickly, Psalm chapter 2, or the second Psalm in verse 11. We need to have a 2020 vision in 2020 for service. Here's a question. What service does God have for you in the new year? Does God have something for you to do in the new year? Think about that. Is there something that God may want you to do in 2020 that maybe you didn't do in 2019? I know we're still here in 2019, but there may be something God has in your future for you to do, to get involved in, that you haven't got involved in yet, and He may be just planning that out. You need to ask the Lord, say, Lord, show me what it is you want me to do. Listen, if you'll ask God what He wants you to do, you know what He'll do? He'll tell you. He'll make sure that you understand exactly what He wants you to do. The problem, a lot of Christians don't ask God what they want. They don't ask what God wants them to do because they already have it set in their mind what they want to do. And they don't need God to tell them what to do because I've got my life, I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. But God has a plan and a purpose for us. We all know that. Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. We need to serve the Lord with fear. Now, sometimes most people think of that word fear as shaking because they're afraid a lightning bolt is going to strike them right now if they even think the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. Or sometimes people say, ah, see, you know, you stub your toe. Ah, God got you. God got me because I stubbed my toe. Or, ah, you fell down and tripped and broke your arm. Ah, God got you. Well, no, God didn't get me. I don't know, you know, why I did that or why you did that. That's not the way. I don't think God sits around up in heaven just waiting for somebody to fall and break something. Ah, I got him. Ah. Or, you know, I don't think God, you know, you're walking down the sidewalk and God doesn't stick His foot out to trip you just to get you. You know, I mean, you might have to stop and think, did I do something wrong to get this? But that's the mentality that some people have, that it's just God sitting up there waiting to get even with all of us. Man, He should have done that a long time ago. He wants to get even. He could have gotten even a long time ago. You all know what we all deserve here tonight. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve the glories of God. I don't deserve standing here. You don't deserve to sit here. I don't deserve to stand here in front of you. So God is not up there trying to just figure out how He's going to get you. He said, but the word fear, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, is the word fear means that you love God so much that you don't want to offend Him. And I'm abbreviating what Webster says, but look it up for yourself. His definition is that you love God so much that you don't want to offend Him in any way, shape, or form. That is what Webster says real fear is. And I like that definition. It puts a whole different perspective in on serving God. You're serving God out of what? Love, not just fear, even though that's what He says, serve the Lord with fear. Well, understand what fear means. And you'll go far further loving God and serving Him as that is your motivator than constantly looking around and thinking God's going to drop something out of the sky on you. You're walking around constantly scared of God. That's not how God is. Now, listen, you do something wrong, He will chastise you. So understand that. But serve Him with fear and rejoice with trembling. But again, understand what fear really means. Psalm 100 in verse 2. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Psalm 100 verse 2. Now, over in Psalm 211, it says, serve the Lord with fear, right? And so get the perspective of fear. But look what it says in Psalm 100 in verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
Come before His presence with singing. It doesn't say, serve Him with fear here. It says, serve Him with gladness. So if you're serving the Lord with the right motive, you're going to be serving Him with gladness. And isn't that the right way to serve God anyway? Is with gladness. Happiness. I don't think Christians can be happy. Well, you're wrong. Because Christians can be happy. And I think there's too many Christians walking around not happy, bringing a bad, dark cloud over Christianity. And I'm not saying you got to walk around giggling all the time. There's something wrong with you if all you do is giggle. Right? Or laughing constantly. If you're always just laughing, we're going to look at you a little weird. We're not talking about that. We're not talking that you have to walk around with this huge smile on your face all the time. You know, that Hollywood smile, Botox and all that other stuff. You know, you don't need that either. But I think that we can all be happy as Christians. We can serve Him with gladness. I really believe that when you are trying to serve the Lord with all your heart, faithfully, you will be glad to do it. You'll be happy to do it. Now, again, what service does God have for you in the new year? I don't know. I wrote that down with a question mark after it. What service does the Lord have for you in the new year? It may be something brand new. Or it may be something that you have already been doing. And so just keep doing whatever He wants you to do. Unless He changes that and puts something else in your path. Our ministry, and I wrote this out, our ministry in church would be handicapped if it weren't for those of you that serve Him. Our church would be handicapped, literally handicapped, if it wasn't for people wanting to serve the Lord within the church. Say amen to that, please. Because we would. Our church would be handicapped if it weren't for those of you that are trying to do something for the Lord here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Excuse me. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So you can't do anything for the Lord after you die, but boy, you can do a lot for Him before you die. So again, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with might. And let me just, I just wrote this down. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Whatever it is you're doing here, thank you. Thank you. Because again, our church would be handicapped without you serving God. Somehow, whatever it is you're doing, thank you for your service. And then finally, we need to have a 2020 vision. And I covered this a little bit this morning, so I won't spend much time on it. But we need to have a 2020 vision of the second coming. I said this morning, we still got 3 days before the end of 2019. So the Lord could still come back in 2019. We don't know. But Jesus Christ may come in 2020. I certainly am expecting Him before the end of this year. But if He doesn't come by midnight on the 31st, I'm expecting Him to come in 2020. Aren't you? We should be looking that way. We should be always anticipating. So we ought to have a 2020 vision in 2020 of the second coming of Christ if He doesn't come now. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to come? Number one, are you saved? That is a must. When the Lord comes back, He is He's only taking the saved. He's only taking the saved when He comes back the first time. The next time. When He comes back the next time, He's only taking us that are saved out. And so you need to be ready for that. The second coming of Christ is a grand thing to look forward to. We that are saved here in this room look forward to the second coming of Christ. We are looking forward to what we call the rapture. If you're not familiar with that word, it simply means a catching away. That's what the term is. We looked at it this morning, but we'll look at it again tonight briefly here. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Look at this passage, one more passage, and then we'll be done. We'll go get cake. Is there cake down there? All right, or whatever is down there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Remember that term asleep in the Bible many times means dead or death. So that's what it means here. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." So that's the dead that have already died in the Lord. They're already in heaven. My parents are in heaven. We've got a baby in heaven. We've got other loved ones in heaven. You've got loved ones in heaven, right? Amen? Friends, people, you know, again, parents, grandparents, my grandparents, I'm hoping to see all of my grandparents. They're all coming back in the air to get their bodies that are going to come out of the grave. You say, that's far-fetched. Well, that's what the Bible teaches, and I believe it with all my heart. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If the Lord can speak the world into being, speak the universe into being, He can certainly cover this one. And so, again, the souls of those people that have died in Christ, He's going to bring all those souls back. They're going to be there in the air, and then the bodies are going to come up out of the graves, and the bodies are going to meet their souls, and they get a brand new body when it comes out of the ground. Amazing. Can't wait for that day. That's the dead. They're going to come. They're going to meet their souls. The souls and the body, they come together. They're always going to be that way for the rest of eternity. Then he goes on and he says, verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them," or that means go before them, "which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so the picture is this. The souls of the dead come in the air. The bodies come up out of the grave. The bodies are given a supernatural makeover, as you say. And the bodies and the souls come together. And then they're there. And then after that sometime, we that are alive when Christ comes back, which could be at any moment, those of us that are saved and are alive at this time, then all of a sudden, we go. And we get our new bodies. And we're with the Lord forever. That is what we call the rapture of the church. And that's, we say rapture of the church because it doesn't mean just this church. It means all of the saved people that make up the church. Remember, saved people make up the church. And so we need to have a 2020 vision of the second coming of Christ. Titus 2:13, I'll just read it and then we'll close. It says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready for Christ to come back? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior? If not, you need to be saved. That is how you get ready for two things, death or the second coming of Christ. But you need to be ready. When I was in Boy Scouts, that old motto was, be prepared. And we need to be prepared in life. We need to be prepared for death. And that's what we need to do. We need to always be prepared. We need to have a 2020 vision for 2020. And these things that we talked about today, that's how we can have that 2020 vision. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, we do thank you for the Scriptures, and we thank you, Lord, how good you are to us by giving us a copy of your Word and by declaring these truths to us.